There's been a renewed focus on character references for those found guilty of sexual crimes after former Fianna Fáil TD Jim Glennon issued one for Daniel Ramamoorthy, a former government advisor who was convicted of the sexual exploitation of a 13-year-old boy back in 2017. Now, in July 2024, Gerald Henry, who was 43 years old at the time and with an address in Kiltomi, Lixnaa, was found guilty at Tralee Circuit Criminal Court of abusing his two younger sisters, Miriam and Irene, in the 1990s. He had pleaded not guilty. Gerald Henry received an 18-month suspended sentence, fully suspended for 3 years. Miriam spoke at the time about character references which were provided at Tralee Circuit Court for her brother, Gerald Henry. She and her sister, Irene, had waived their right to anonymity. Shortly after that sentencing, the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Human Trafficking Act 2024, mandating that individuals provide character references for sexual offenders must be sworn in, either by oath or by way of affidavit, to ensure that the person providing character references swears the veracity of their statement. The person providing a character reference can also now be cross-examined. But with the revelations in the Ramamoorthy case, can we say that this new law on character references is being enacted consistently in our court system? Miriam Henry gave her views. I caught up with her yesterday.
So obviously the two character references that were handed in relation to my brother, they were obviously a big part of the re-traumatisation that myself and my sister suffered through the whole court process. So when we heard that the legislation around character references was being changed, we thought this is great. No one else is going to have to go through what we went through, where you're just blindsided and these people can just have their opinions read into the court record unchallenged. So we thought it's great, that's going to be changed, it's not going to happen to anybody else. But unfortunately, what I'm seeing, and I have been following this since my brother's trial, what I'm seeing is that it's primarily still remaining the same. I'm still reading in all of the media reports on these sort of trials, testimonials are handed in, letters of reference were handed into the court. Occasionally, some of them are being read out, but I've yet to read of somebody being sworn in, reading out their own character reference and being cross-examined on the contents of the character reference, which is what I understood the law change was going to be.
And your view would it be that people are entitled to give character references, but if you're giving someone a character reference who has been convicted of a sexual crime, you should be prepared to go into court and to be cross-examined and to state precisely why you're submitting that character reference and defending the reasons why?
Yeah, so my kind of opinion on it is I don't think there's any place for character references. If it is a case that somebody wants to provide evidence of somebody's character, they can be dealt with in the evidence the way any other evidence is brought into one of these trials. They can come in as a witness and be sworn in and cross-examined the way any other witness is. There is no necessity for character references to be admitted in without any sort of cross-examination, anybody having to verify any of the contents. There's no need for it. Now, if it is a case that people think character references or those providing character references should still be allowed to contribute to a trial, as I said, it should be that they can give evidence the way any other witness can give evidence.
So in your view, there should not be character references at all?
No. If somebody wants to provide evidence of somebody's character, they can do so by way of being sworn in like any other witness in a trial. It doesn't mean that somebody won't be able to have character referees there. It will just mean that their witnesses will be called upon the way any other witnesses called upon in a trial. For example, in my brother's case, his two character references were read aloud by his senior counsel. The two people who provided the character references, they were sitting in the courtroom for the duration of the trial. So they were sitting in the room as somebody else read out their character references for them.
Character references in courts, they've come into sharp focus after former Fianna Fáil TD Jim Glennon issued one for a former government advisor, Daniel Ramamoorthy, who was convicted of the sexual exploitation of a 13-year-old boy in 2017. What was your reaction when you heard about that case?
I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked at all. I mean, people who provide character references, they're always very carefully chosen. Specific professions are always favoured. These professions are chosen, for example, like a TD, they're chosen so as to legitimise a character reference.
And do you think there's a class element to it?
Definitely. It's rare that you would hear of somebody being a character reference and they're just the local shop owner. They're just the local cashier in Tesco, or, you know, they're unemployed, or they are somebody who's on long-term illness benefit. You don't hear of those people. They specifically use professions that they know will be seen as, air quotes, the upstanding citizens.
If it came to be the case that in every relevant court case, in every relevant court sentencing, that this mandate that individuals providing character references for sexual offenders would be sworn in and could be cross-examined in court, if that was being implemented in all the relevant cases and all the relevant sentencing hearings, would you still welcome that? Would you say that's a step forward in terms
definitely a step forward. Now, what I wonder, and this is just my own opinion, I wonder if the reason why people aren't being sworn in and cross-examined and all of that is because we don't have enough time in the court process to allow for two or three people to arrange time off work to be brought in on specific days. If you're arranging for two or three people to be sworn in, read aloud a character reference, which can be any length, and then be cross-examined on the content, you could be talking about an extra day added on to each trial. And unfortunately, because of a lack of court resources, and already a significant backlog. I waited 6 years for my brother's trial. But because of an already significant backlog, I think, and again, this is just my opinion, I think that that may play into the fact that people aren't being sworn in and having to give evidence and be cross-examined.
Do you think it should be mandatory for judges that they have to give the names of referees, that these should be made public?
Absolutely.
Regardless?
If you're willing to put something in a letter to a judge, you should be willing to say it out of your own mouth in front of a room full of people. Because if it's a case that you don't want your name being publicised, well, why is that? Because you can either stand by what you've put in your character reference or you can't. And if you can't, you shouldn't be giving it. There's no character references for victims. There's no letters handed into the court attesting to the character of a victim, attesting to their trustworthiness of the victim, because that is essentially what a character reference for an offender is. It's their opportunity to try and convince the judge that they are not the person the jury has decided they are based on all of the evidence brought to trial. I think the character references are also a slap in the face of jurors, because the character reference is basically to try and convince a judge that the jury made the wrong decision. The whole court process is very unfair to victims. And we don't have any support in the courtroom. The only support we have is from usually the local rape crisis centre. We don't have any legal support. We don't have anybody explaining any of the process to us. And again, we don't have anybody handing in character references for us. We're not allowed to bring any evidence from other people saying this person is X or Y or Z, or all of the things that you might have done which are amazing with your life. There's no opportunity like that given to victims. It's the most re-traumatizing thing that you will ever go through in your life, second only to the abuse itself.
It is that impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel as well, where the character references come in a trial is also very, very important, because they come after the victim impact statement. The jury makes their decision, they're discharged from the court. The victim impact statement is given to the judge and anybody else present in the court. And then after that, character references are either read into the court record or they're handed into the judge. So the whole trial, just before the judge goes off to deliberate on sentencing, ends on these glowing praise about your the person who sexually abused you.
Now, Miriam, you said earlier that you would be of the view that there should be no character references submitted for people convicted of crimes. You would be of the view that if somebody is prepared to give a character reference, and yes, absolutely, they should be prepared to be cross-examined and to give that testimony, that character reference in a court. But would that not be difficult, because a court will only deal with the evidence of a case and what's particular to the case, and that evidence would be, you know, ruled as inadmissible, that so-and-so was a, you know, this person is a great person because I've seen them do this and that. Would that not be ruled inadmissible in a trial, that the only place for character references is at the end of the whole process when a person has been found guilty, and then the judge can hear character references from people that he or she can take into consideration before they sentence the person found guilty?
Well, I think what you've said there is very important. You've made reference to that information, if it was given in evidence, as being inadmissible in a trial. Well, then if it's inadmissible in a trial, it should have no relevance at all, whether it's in a character reference or otherwise. The two character references that were given in relation to my brother referred to him as a husband and a father. He was neither a husband nor a father when he abused me. He was a teenager. So the information that was provided in those character references wasn't relevant at all to the person who abused me.
You made reference to that Ramamurthy case where a former government advisor sexually exploited a 13-year-old boy, and the fact that the essence of the court references were the focus was on the man who carried out the abuse and not on the child.
But that's just another way in which victims are not centred in this whole process. The whole process is centred around the offender. The offender has the benefit of a legal team from the very first time that he's charged. I had to travel, myself and my sister had to travel to Kerry, which is where we lived at the time of the abuse. We had to travel to Kerry, upend our lives and travel to Kerry for the 2 weeks of the trial. So we had no one nearby to come with us to court. We couldn't ask anybody to give up 2 weeks of their life to come with us to court, to go to a place which was hours away. I live in Waterford and my sister lives in Dublin.
Miriam, may I ask, setting aside people found guilty of sexual offences, would there still not be a place, though, for character references that in some circumstances it is important to put into context why a person did something? And I'm not talking about sexual crimes, I want to stress that, but there are situations, other situations, for example, theft, whereby it's important to put in context why somebody stole, maybe because there's poverty or the fact that maybe they've been bereaved and lost someone they deeply loved and behaved out of character, that there should still be in the legal system a role for character references, that it shouldn't, that it does have a place. Regulated, yes, absolutely. But it is still necessary if our judicial system, our legal system is in any way motivated towards rehabilitation. There are instances where, and again, I'm not talking about sexual crimes, but there are instances when people who have offended, who have committed criminal acts, that they can be rehabilitated and that they should be, in some instances, be given a chance and that some mitigation should be allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are cases in which they could be used, but like you say, it needs to be regulated. That's one of the biggest issues here. The law isn't clear. It's being left up for interpretation depending on what judge you get and what court jurisdiction you're in. And that goes for all parts of the criminal trial process. There's so much secrecy surrounding the whole process. And this means that members of the public, who are all potential jurors, have so much confusion when they're thrust into a courtroom setting. Like during my brother's trial, and this is no dig at the jury, they're just ordinary people the same way as you and I would be if we were in their position. They had to have some of the instructions explained to them three or four times, because even if it's in plain English, this is a very daunting prospect for people, 12 people, to be deciding on someone's guilt or not guilt. The whole process needs to be made clearer. It shouldn't be left up to this person to interpret that way and that other person to interpret another way. And I think one of the main things that should be happening is that victims need to be consulted. Unfortunately and reluctantly, we are experts on this whole process because we've been through the system. But as I said, it just needs to be made clear. It needs to be black and white. It can't be interpreted in different ways on different days in different courtrooms by different judges. The legislation, for example, in relation to victim impact statements, it's very firm. The defence are given an opportunity to read your victim impact statement and object to some or all of the contents, and they can instruct the removal of parts, and the defence can also cross-examine the victim on their victim impact statement. That rarely happens, but it is still a possibility. But that's very firm legislation, whereas the legislation around character references seems to be very flimsy, and it just depends on the day of the week what way it's going to be interpreted.
How can it be made firmer?
It just needs to be in plain English that this is what's happening. And if it's not happening, it needs to be called into question. Like, why in courtrooms where there's still character references being handed in unchallenged, why are none of the legal professionals in the room standing up and saying, well, why can't we cross-examine that person? Why isn't that person here today?
Maybe guidelines being issued, but that it should be absolutely clear that if character references are being submitted in cases where somebody has been found guilty of sexual crimes, that the person who has supplied that character reference, they have to be identified, they have to be prepared to be identified, and they have to be prepared to be cross-examined.
Yeah, a practice direction should be issued by the Law Society, just basically explaining that practice directions have to be complied with. But I think that's the only way that this is going to be made fair, if it's going to be fair at all. That is the only way it's going to be made fair, is if it's the same in every courtroom up and down the country.
And that there is Miriam Henry, a survivor of sexual abuse, giving her reaction to concerns that this law that came in 2 years ago now, mandating that individuals who provide character references for sexual offenders must be sworn in to ensure that the person who's providing the character references can swear to the truth of their statement and their veracity, and that they could also be cross-examined, the person providing a character reference. But with the revelations in the recent Ramamoorthy case, there's concerns that this new law on character references, it may not be enacted consistently across the court system. Miriam Henry giving her views there. She says there needs to be absolute clarity in this area, maybe directions from the Law Society as well. And if you're affected by any of this, because it is a tough, heart-rending subject, very difficult subject. If you're affected by this in any way, you can call the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre on 1-800-633-333. And that number for the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre, 1-800-633-333.